We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy Saturday. Here we are again. It's the Bob Rose Rewind. I've got a fresh edition for you now. I just cooked up for you. On a kind of drizzly, rainy, wet. Try to stay dry and have a happy Saturday. In the meantime, Carl Zalek is going to entertain. Well, he's going to give us information. He's the Marion County Commissioner, and it's all about growth on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky.
You go back, Jack.
Good morning, Carl. How you doing? Oh, wait.
Great.
There we go. I hit the wrong button. So, Carl, let's get right to it. Growth in the community. Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, I think growth is absolutely wonderful. You see what happens when we don't have any growth. I mean, back in 2008 and 2010, and that's absolutely stagnating to everyone. And so growth is good, but growth in the right way is important, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to stop growth, and I don't know if it always makes sense, but if you're going to have growth, you want to have good growth, like you want to have job opportunities. Tell me about Marion County.
Yeah, I think it's been incredible. I mean, you and I have talked a lot over the last few years about what we have done to try to really make Marion County the most friendly business community, not only in our state, but the Southeast, and we've certainly done that. Additionally, the cost of living, which is great in Marion County, is about 12, almost 13%. Lower than the U.S. average. The job market has increased by 2.3% in the last year alone. In the next 10 years, it's predicted at about 37%, 4% higher than the average. So when you look at Marion County, we're just on that higher-end track. We're always trying to recruit new businesses that really make a difference, whether that's manufacturing, logistics. We are the best place to distribute goods and services across the state of Florida. 500 miles from Miami, 500 miles from Atlanta. We're in the perfect position to take advantage of all those things, the rail lines, everything that comes through Marion County just makes us rich from a transportation perspective. We take advantage of that for our citizens and the people of Marion County, whether you want to make a product here, you want to ship it, you want to move it, you want to use it to have a resource for the state of Florida, we're the place to do it at.
Well, if you're going to increase, the visibility, if you will, of our Florida ports like the governor has done, then you need to be able to support it with areas where you can, store items or use as transportation hubs. And you're absolutely right. You have done a great job of creating jobs and filling that need as well. So tell me about this Northwest 80th Avenue Corridor project.
Yeah, so one of the projects that we've really been trying to, look at, we're in the process of doing the environmental studies, and it's part of the, when the voters pass the sales tax, it's part of that improvement plan. So this project will create a four-lane highway running from the future I-75 exit north of Ocala and 10.5 miles south to Highway 200. It's a new four-lane, and it will go past the World Equestrian Center, past the Kalesa Township, which is part of the new On Top of the World, and of course On Top of the World communities. It'll be a new, it will be a completely new north and south corridor for our community. You know, and we're expecting the roadway to double, and that's why we're planning ahead right now. I mean, we have about 14,000 cars that travel it daily today, but we need to have the future availability of about 40,000 cars, you know, when we look at our 10-year plan, especially as the World Equestrian Center, you know, grows and becomes, you know, more and more of that a place to be in North Central Florida.
Yeah, the traffic then, will it take a little bit of pressure off of I-75 going through that same area? Because that is the site, unfortunately, of we get quite a few wrecks in that particular area.
Yeah, I mean, the better we can do, locally of having easier access transportation corridors, the more traffic we can keep off of, what I call those little hopping trips, you know, where you get on Highway 27 or Highway 40, you go down 2 miles to 200 or vice versa, right? The highway wasn't built for that, truly, right? I mean, I know most people use it in that way if they have to, but that's not what you want your highway to do. You want it to be easier to get around town between traffic lights and all those other things, and making those roads work better and adding new roads like we're doing, instead of having to put that traffic on I-75. So we're hoping that we'll relieve it over time, for sure.
Well, and, you know, along with that is the growing pains of having construction and stuff. And I know you want to highlight a couple areas where some crews are working and requested people, which is the law, by the way. If you're in a construction area, you can't even have your phone in your hand, just like going through a school zone.
Right. And so there are places like Southeast 49th Street and 180th Avenue, working through the electric community on Southeast 49th Street, 314A. In those areas around there, there are quite a few curves. A lot of people travel that at pretty high speed, and people are working. So please be safe out there. And like Bob said, please put down your phone and actually pay attention to what you're doing. The text is not worth killing somebody, for sure. And then Southeast 59th Street, we're also working in 59th Street between the intersections of 441 and 475 near the Shady Hill Elementary School. Improving this will, of course, help the school, help all those areas, and everybody knows that those school areas always become a target for traffic and issues. So we're trying to make more and more of them busy, more and more of that busyness, you know, take that away from it. Both roadways are part of the county's 5-year transportation improvement plan. And if you'd like to ask more information, we do have that phone number for you. That's 671-8686. You can get more information. And also, if you see damage, non-operational traffic signs, potholes, you know, you need customer service, a tree down, you guys are our eyes and ears out there. So please, you know, give us a call, 671-8686. Anything you see on the road, please let us know. Help us to make our community better and make sure that we have those signs up. I mean, it's terrible when, you know, you see an accident happen because, a stop sign or something got knocked down and, and we didn't know about it. So,
yeah, Carol, please, we got some potholes that Bob and I deal with on the way to work. Could you like bring up a little load of blacktop filler for Gainesville maybe one day?
If you don't, Carl, we'll give out your home phone number. How's that for a trade-off?
That sounds good, Bob. Hey, the truck will be up there in an hour.
Hey, seriously, Marion County's a beautiful county. We all noticed, though, that it was a little more trash on the roadways. It was kind of building up from time to time. You have an advisory board, and they're going to get to work, correct?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things that's been really great, Commissioner Curry is leading our Marion County Litter Task Force. In October, we kind of said, hey, we really need to take a look at this. We need to do a better job of this. We're trying to bring everybody to the table, subcommittees, everything from ordinances and enforcement, marketing, community outreach, doing all of the things that we should be doing. We got everybody on this thing from, Ocala, Donnell, and Bellevue, the Department of Transportation, Forest Services, everybody is participating in it. And also a bunch of our waste companies, Waste Pro, Waste Management, Florida Express, we got a lot of folks just interested in this because, litter has become such a nuisance for communities all around the state, all around the country, and our community should not look like it looks because people don't care enough to take their garbage and dispose of it properly and let it fly out. So we're going to fix that, and we're putting together the right people, and Commissioner Curry will lead that charge, and I think he's going to do a phenomenal job bringing back real results. So
All right, running out of time real quick. Big Fix 3, actually, the PetSnip program. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, October 27th, the third annual collaboration effort with Animal Services, the Humane Society, TLC, PetSnip of Marion, Sheltering Hands, all took place. It's been an incredible partnership to really put this program into place, neuter all of the cats and humanely trap and sterilize and ear tip, this thing across our community. It reduces mating behaviors, fighting, roaming, spraying.
Yowling.
Significantly reduces yowling, yes. everyone's heard that incredibly loud cry from, it sounds kind of painful, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it reduces yowling. That's probably the most important thing. But no, that's good. The Big Fix 3, and folks can find out more about that, 671-8700. Carl, we could always talk to you longer because you always have some great information, but we got to move along, my friend. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Good way to go. What a big win for the party this week.
Yeah. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, always appreciate the information. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Rewind. Happy Saturday. Congresswoman Kat Kamick coming up next to talk about Speaker Nancy Pelosi and how she's going to stop her. That's next on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning and happy Saturday. It's the Bob Rose Rewind. Congressman Kat Kamick with us talking about trying to put the brakes on Speaker Nancy Pelosi and these huge spending bills. We're going to talk to her about it right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Come over here. Good morning, Kat. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It is good to talk to you. And I know you have to be feeling pretty good, at least about one thing, and that is Virginia.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I tell you, the mood up here in Washington, D.C. has changed dramatically. A good friend of mine, Byron Donald, who's a congressman from South Florida, good conservative guy, he and I, along with some of our other freshman colleagues, went down and celebrated with Glenn Youngkin the other night. Historic win, not just for turning Virginia red, but electing a total rock star in their lieutenant governor, Winsome Sears, black woman, first elected to, she's the first black woman elected to statewide office. Not that her race matters, but the fact that she walks up there and says, I'm a Marine, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a business owner, and we are going to do things differently. She's a true American, great American story. And I got to tell you, walking around up here yesterday, my Democrat colleagues are feeling pretty low. And we saw what was really shocking for them. They thought they were going to run away with this. This is the beginning of the end for the ultra-liberal progressive movement. But true to style, Nancy Pelosi says today she's going to force a vote. And the American people, for calling, for everything that they have done, for all the screaming and pushing that we've been doing up here, we've denied her a vote for over 8 weeks. And today she thinks this is it. She says, you know what, we're going to push forward no matter what, and we're going to deny her one more time.
That's good news. And I'm going to ask you about that in just a minute. But also, the governor race, what a great story. Glenn Youngkin, political newcomer, He wins. Biden carried that state by 10 points against Donald Trump. So this is quite a turnaround, especially when you consider Terry McAuliffe is, I mean, he is deep inside the Democrat operation, you know, tied in with the Clintons and everything else. I mean, to beat that guy in Virginia is huge. But then you turn to the lieutenant governor's race, which, by the way, is not talked about on any of the mainstream media at all. MSNBC, they had to give those people, put them on life support because they had such a meltdown over Youngkin winning that they couldn't bear to talk about a woman of color running and as a Republican. Because how do they explain the narrative that we're all white, dog-whistling, you know, white supremacists, but yet we voted for a black lieutenant governor? How do they, I wonder how they exactly, you know, figure that out to share with their followers?
It was, and still continues to be, to the point of humorous, that they just, they cannot get out of their own way. When they have nothing left, they immediately revert to the race card. And Joy Reid on MSNBC made a statement about the Virginia election saying that this is white nationalism, that this was a bunch of racists getting together, and that Republicans, and I quote, Republicans are the biggest danger to our national security. And a reporter asked me yesterday what I thought about that. And I said, that's an asinine statement that in itself is dangerous. That's what's dangerous. The constant division, the constant pitting of Americans against each other. This race was not about racial issues. This was about issues at the kitchen table. This was a bunch of people who had come together who said, enough is enough. You've got the AG and school board saying that moms and dads are racist, that they're domestic terrorists. You've got a governor's candidate saying that we need less white teachers. I mean, when you talk to people in Virginia about why they turned out, it was because they were scared to death of the government overreach. It was truly all about the conversations around the kitchen table that drove them to the polls. And this had nothing to do with the so-called social justice warrior movement. They rejected that wholeheartedly. You look at Minneapolis. They voted to save their police department. You see around the country, there were initiatives on the ballot to defund police. They were rejected. In Seattle, they actually voted to increase funding for police. I mean, the tide is starting to turn because people are waking up saying, oh my God, we actually slid down this path for about 11 months and it's scary as hell.
Well, you know, we're who else, not going there. You know who else woke up? The mama bears, or someone want to call them soccer moms. I call them mama bears because you mess with the kids, you mess with them, and they're not going to, they'll take that personally and they'll go to the ballot box and they'll vote. Some of these same ones might have been turned off by using Twitter too much by Donald Trump. But you know what? The issues override the personalities, and the content of what this Republican Youngkin and others are offering, I think that's resonated with these, you know, I call them soccer moms, or I call them, you know, mama bears. But mama it's bear. It's about the family. The family's being attacked by Democrat policies. They're being attacked. Gasoline prices, you know, all the cost of living going up, continually going up. And then they're worried about teaching CRT in schools when our kids are falling behind the rest of the world in some of these critical skill areas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a mom in Virginia today. You know, she's now homeschooling her kid because the schools are shut down. She's had a look at the curriculum that they've been sending home over the last year. It's frightening. They're trying to teach her child that her kid is less than because of the color of their skin. And then, you know, she's trying to do extracurricular stuff, and you can't get cleats, you can't get jerseys. You're driving to the gas station, you're paying 300% more at some places. You go to the grocery store, you're paying more in the grocery store. People are out of work, you're waiting in lines, the supply chain is all messed up. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The conversations around the kitchen table, heck, I know me and Matt, we have had them. Matt does a lot of the grocery shopping in our household because I'm always...
Right,
I'm always
you're on the run, yeah.
And he calls me and he's like, you wouldn't believe what I'm paying for this. I mean, it's families are sick and tired of the government overreach. We don't need bureaucrats in Washington telling us how to live our lives. Leave us alone. Stick to your day job and stay out of the social stuff. We just need to get back to the basics, the common sense. And that's what we've been talking about. But then you have people like Nancy Pelosi and Biden who say that the country was never great, that we need to completely reform where we're headed. And they're going to force a vote to try to bankrupt our country and put the final nail in the coffin. And we have to stop it. And that starts today.
And I understand you are going to stop it. I understand you had a meeting with some of the folks, Breitbart, and you and some other Republicans with Breitbart, and you said Biden's Build Back Better agenda is dead, and that might even come to a head today. So is all that correct, and you still think you guys can squash it?
I do, because, you know, if you look at Abigail Spanberger, she's a so-called moderate Democrat. Of course, what does that mean these days? You know, she's a Virginia representative. In 2020, Biden won her district by 12 points. Youngkin won her district by 16.
Wow.
If the election were held and she were on the ballot, she would have lost handedly. People like her, Gottheimer, Stephanie Murphy in Florida, others that are in the so-called moderate swing seats, they are scared to death, absolutely petrified. And for Nancy Pelosi to be as tone deaf and arrogant as she is to force this vote, the moderates are going to stand up, scream, and shout. And quite frankly, we're at the point where until we know, and I've said this all along, until we know not just what the final cost is, because this notion of we have to pass it to see what's in it, that's asinine in itself. I want to see a provision tucked in, and we're going to work on this, a provision of what every single bill costs every single taxpayer in America. If you're paying taxes in America, you should know what every single bill is going to cost you personally as an individual. And I think if Americans knew that about this bill, they would be screaming at the top of their lungs. And they've already spoken in Virginia. They're speaking out in New Jersey. This whole agenda is dead as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to make sure it stays that way.
Well, keep in touch. We hope that you're right. That answers the question an earlier caller had about, you know, cost per household with these bills.
Oh.
You're addressing that, so that worked out perfectly. And
awesome.
We can say what we always say, Kat, keep fighting the good fight. Congresswoman Kat Kamick.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick, always appreciate her staying in touch with us on the Bob Rose Rewind. Don't go away. Coming up next, a huge COVID summit comes to Marion County, to the Equestrian Center. I'll explain next when I bring in my guest, Dr. John, on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Saturday. Stay dry, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Rewind, and a guy who brings a lot of information, a wealth of knowledge to the COVID summit, Dr. John, joining us right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Dr. John, good morning. How you doing?
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm sitting in front of the hospital right now getting ready to make my rounds, but I wanted to get in touch with you guys about this event coming up on Saturday. It's going to be huge.
Okay, tell us about the event, Saturday at the World Equestrian Center.
Yeah, we had to pick out the Expo Center, which is in the back of the World Equestrian Center. It's a huge facility. You've got up to 1,000 people in there. We actually expanded the number of tickets just for your audience today. We were supposed to be cut off yesterday, and Greg was kind enough to say, let's get on the show Tuesday. So, yeah, we have until noon today. There are $50 tickets, which is a luncheon, and you are with the subject matter experts on COVID from all over the country. We've got Ryan Cole flying in from Idaho. We've got Robert Malone, the inventor of messenger RNA technology, coming in from Virginia. Peter McCullough flying in from Texas. Paul Alexander flying in from Canada. These are the folks who are the experts, and there's a half a dozen more speakers that have all really, I'll tell you guys, put their lives, their reputations, their careers on the line to talk about COVID. It's crazy that physicians have to do that. You know, they're not getting paid a dime. They're not getting paid a dime to speak at this event. We're playing for the airfare, and that's it. And that's what the $50 ticket is helping us to cover, as well as the lunch. But they know that this is a crisis, not just, you know, it's a crisis for our country, for our times, but it's a crisis for the medical profession. And that's why one of the best achievements for this event is that I was able to make it a medical education seminar where nurses and doctors and physicians assistants, nurse practitioners, they can get 5 hours of continuing education credit, CME credit. So it's also for the lay people, but I'm really encouraging anyone in your listening audience that's a healthcare provider to get to this event, because it's not a rally. It's an educational event, and we're going to hit on the big three topics that I think everyone's going to come away with a consensus about. Number one, we're going to talk about people's natural immunity, people who've had COVID and recovered, like myself, and really how long does that immunity last? We're going to go into the B cell, the T cell, you know, the bone marrow, how long that immunity, and really what is the role of vaccine mandates for people who are COVID recovered. We're going to talk about children, you know, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old kids who are healthy, and whether the vaccines are more risky or beneficial in that age group. And we're going to talk, of course, about the treatment options for COVID, which expand. They've expanded so much beyond even ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
Well, that's good news that there's more therapeutics at work there. I have a question for you, Doctor. I saw that in Ireland, they have a 91% vaccination rate, and even higher in some parts of Ireland. That's the highest in the world, yet they still have issues with people becoming hospitalized with COVID. Can you help to explain that?
Oh, it's simple. It's frustrating for the people who've been vaccinated. But we've been saying, or I've been saying from the very beginning, that the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccines specifically, have not been able to show that they're going to be effective or extremely effective against the future variants. You know, we know people got a limited protection with the Delta variant, and there was no doubt about the fact that when the wave of Delta came in here back in June and July, those who were vaccinated had an initial, I would have to call it initial phase of being protected. But that immunity has waned. The COVID booster shots have not been helpful. And, yeah, we have counties like Waterford County, Ireland, 99% of the, you know, in Ireland, you have to be vaccinated to be able to even go grocery shopping. So, of course, you're going to get vaccinated. It's a socialist country right now. So everyone's vaccinated. And yet, part of it, guys, is this. Everyone's vaccinated. So when you get COVID, everyone in the hospital has been vaccinated. But they're still getting COVID, and they're still in the ICUs. And there are mortalities associated with this. So we have got to come up with other alternatives. And we've had them from the get-go. We've had these medication regimens from the very beginning. And yet, in my own practice, have I seen vaccinated people sick and in the hospital? Absolutely. And have they improved? Of course, with the medications I'm giving them, yes, they have, if we get it to them quickly enough. Early treatment is pivotal. But again, this event, the fact that we are able to get the educational credits, there's a huge entrenchment in the medical community, both in Gainesville and Ocala. You know, we have huge groups of doctors who just won't come, and they tell me they know all they need to know about COVID. Well, I'd encourage you, if you have a physician or you know a provider who says that, I don't need to know anything more, then you really got to question, you know, their judgment and say, listen, guys, get out and just open your brains. This is going to be a 5-hour with a bunch of Q&A. And by the way, we have Jeff Childers coming from your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
To talk about vaccine mandates, and we'll have the physicians with him talking about medical exemptions. What's a legitimate medical exemption for a vaccine mandate? And, of course, religious exemptions. This is so timely. You know, the governor's going to have a special session in just 2 weeks for a whole week, legislative session on this issue up in Tallahassee. And I believe that this conference is going to be a springboard for the legislators who are also coming to this, by the way. We got state legislators and senators, and hopefully we'll see the attorney general there and other surprise guests from Tallahassee.
Well, that's important. It's a shame that you're getting such a resistance from some in the medical community. You know, follow the science. Well, we all know science changes. I mean, you know, be great if we all lived in a farmhouse and the doctor came by and knocked on the door and, you know, gave us the treatment we needed. But, you know, here we are, the year 2021, and there are new things coming at us all the time. Why wouldn't they be open-minded about, you know, treatments for these things?
Oh, I don't know. I've never known a disease. You know, I was in training when HIV first came on the scene back in D.C. where I was at George Washington. And there was an enthusiasm about learning about antivirals, about using Bactrim, which was a routine antibiotic that was healing people. You remember the controversy, perhaps, with Anthony Fauci, who did not embrace the use of a cheap drug to treat pneumocystis pneumonia, which was what was killing people with HIV. So there's always been this resistance in medicine to use things that have been around forever, you know, that are not being pushed by the pharmaceutical industry, by the vaccine industry. Unfortunately, that has percolated into our medical education, you know, the medical schools and the residency programs and the hospitals. So, you know, when they see people like me using something like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for an off-label indication, some of them just can't get it. And also, there's an ego issue at stake. I think a lot of physicians have been doing this for so long, the same thing with COVID. They don't want to believe that those of us who've been doing other things have had the success we've had. You know, I've said that before, too. It's very hard for physicians sometimes, for physicians especially, to come together, you know, drop the ego and just come and let's learn in an open forum. This is going to be, when you meet these people, when you meet Drs. McCullough and Urso and Cole and the others that are coming, they're such wonderful human beings. I guess is the best way I can put it. They're just normal folks with great hearts who love our country, who love the profession of medicine, and that's what we're going to have on stage for 5 hours on Saturday between 10 and 3. Just come out and check them out, because this is not some kind of a Broadway show or some kind of gimmick. These are doctors who just want to spread what they know, their knowledge. And by the way I'm setting it up, we learn from each other. It's a panel, so we'll be going back and forth, and the audience can participate. Come up, ask your challenging questions. It's going to be a great forum.
Dr. John, we love it. We love what you've been all about. We're so happy that you've been sharing a lot of this with us. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Dr. John of the Bob Rose Show fame. We always appreciate his expertise and giving us sometimes information that the mainstream certainly is not going to give us. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Rewind. Happy Saturday. Don't go away. Coming up next, the future of Florida and electric cars. And our guest is Ebo Insua, and we'll talk to him next on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Saturday. Bob Rose Rewind rolls on as you're rolling down the highway. Next time, you might be in an electric car. Our next guest is going to tell us all about it. Infrastructure in Florida. Ebo Insua, and he's joining us right now on the Bob Rose Rewind, 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Look, I'll be honest, I'm old school guy, you know, born and raised in Detroit. Dad worked for one of the motor car companies, you know, the V8, and, you know, that just rumble and sound and feel is something that excites me. But I got to say, there's a lot about this electric technology and the cars and their performance and things like that that are also kind of exciting, and I guess the future awaits us. What can you tell us about, for instance, how Florida and the electric car, what the future looks like for those two?
Yeah, man, it's honestly kind of exciting. You know, just even talking about General Motors, you know, that they recently pledged that all of their light-duty and SUVs are going to be electric vehicles by 2035. You know, Florida is actually in the top three in terms of electric vehicle purchases and adoption. But, you know, there's a lot more vehicles that are coming to the state. And also, you know, it's not just about the vehicles, but also about the jobs. You know, even in general, in the advanced energy industry, you know, and when we say advanced energy, we mean obviously, you know, energy efficiency, solar, and advanced transportation. You know, they actually employ over 153,000 people in the state of Florida, and that number just continues to rise. So, you know, the outlook is actually extremely positive for the state of Florida.
In some places, electricity is produced still by coal-fired plants. So if you have an electric car that's being charged by a coal-fired plant, doesn't that kind of make it a coal car?
So, you know, while Florida does have about, I'd say, 15% of our energy source by coal, that number is slowly starting to decline. You know, you've seen a lot of utilities actually start to switch over and start to retire their coal plants. While you could call it a coal-powered car, in the next couple of years, it will definitely be more so a renewable or an energy one, or even a nuclear one as well.
Well, yeah, no, that is interesting. I did bring up that idea of the nuclear thing, but we don't want to get off track because we're talking about electric cars and an infrastructure in Florida. So when you say infrastructure, I'm assuming instead of a gas station, you're going to have power-up stations on various roads and highways. Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, so you know, when we look at charging infrastructure throughout the state of Florida, there are a number of different ways that we've seen, you know, the infrastructure being put out. There have been grants, there have been private investment. You know, the thing that we want to see is we want the market to become open for third-party users, for private investors to come in. We've already seen that a number of private investors have actually worked with our utilities and our counties and cities in order to bring that infrastructure in. And, you know, and in my personal profession, I work for AEEE, or Advanced Energy Economy. We actually have a number of business members who go out through the nation and try to spur in private investment to build out the charging infrastructure. The governor actually signed into law SB 7018, and this was essentially the electric vehicle roadmap for the state of Florida. So just talking from this roadmap, there are a number of different ways we can actually find funding for these private and public charging infrastructure pieces throughout the state.
And are we at the point now where we can charge a vehicle up promptly and it can go, you know, enough miles on the battery to really make it, you know, something that makes sense and utilitarian for most drivers in Florida?
Yeah, you know, it's honestly amazing how much the technology has improved. You know, at this day and age, we have some battery electric vehicles that can go up to 400 miles per gallon, depending on the make and model. And those numbers are just continuing to grow. There are also different types of chargers. There's a level one, a level two, and then there's also those DC fast charging ones that we have as well. You know, the fastest ones can go anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes for a full charge, and that gives you 400 miles. Or, you know, you have the other ones that are a bit more for residential homes. That would be something that you would have overnight.
I could see, you know, a business person saying, okay, I'll put these charging stations out. It'll be 20 to 30 minutes. We have the fast chargers. That'll draw people in. And, hey, what are you going to do for the next 20 or 30 minutes? Here's a store where I can sell you other stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you see a lot of different cities and a lot of different small, even small businesses, you know. They're putting them out there in their parking lots, whether it's one or two, and people are coming in and they have some time to kill, you know. It could be at a Bucky's, you know. It could be at any other kind of road stop on the interstate, you know. So you're definitely seeing a lot more of those, and you're seeing a lot more people in turn spending money and putting money into the economy at the same time.
This question might really not be for you because you're working on infrastructure, the state of Florida, FDOT, all that. I guess my question here has to do, though, with the viability of electric cars. When consumers buy one, it sure would be nice to be able to charge it at home. So my concern would be, I used to be a customer of GRU. They have some of the highest rates for electricity in the state of Florida. If you have to plug your car into that electric source, like at your home, is it still efficient versus the average gasoline automobile?
Yeah, you know, it really is still efficient. Depending on what charger you have in your house, you know, it really does take a bit off the grid, and it definitely can help. And, you know, like I said earlier, the technology is still changing. In the past, it probably was not as efficient, but just with a lot more, a lot of advances that we're seeing, it has actually become a bit more efficient for personal use.
So if you get some private partnerships, business partnerships, that'll go a long way into maybe reducing the cost for the charging themselves. And that will be, you know, more conducive for people to want to go ahead and make the investment and to purchase those vehicles. So when do you see things like where we'll notice a difference? Like, hey, look, there's a brand new charging station.
Yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, we've actually started to see some of those new changes now. You know, the city of Orlando, city of Tallahassee, a lot of these cities have actually entered into these public-private partnerships with their utilities and with private companies in order to actually build out charging infrastructure and just grow the amount of chargers that we've seen. You know, and a lot of times these charging stations that they're putting in actually, you know, sometimes they're actually free for residents. So, you know, it's one of those things where they want people to have as many opportunities to charge their vehicles and to get out as possible. And we know that, you know, with an increase of charging infrastructure, when there is natural disasters in the state of Florida, whether it be hurricanes, whether it be heavy rain, we don't want people to have to worry about where they can charge their car next, or worry about, you know, if they can make it if they're evacuating from the state.
Wow, those are some great points. And it looks like
you guys have a great start on all of this technology and the infrastructure, and it is something to be excited about. And we appreciate your time on the air this morning.
Yeah, no, of course, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you a little bit more. It's a bright time in the Sunshine State, and we're excited for the legislature to kind of tackle some of these issues.
Well, you have to give me one of those electric cars, and I can be like a guinea pig for you here.
You know, there are a number of companies that are doing some ride and drive. So if one comes to Gainesville or to Central Florida, we'll definitely give you a call.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, thanks a lot. Ebo in Sua, thanks so much for your expertise and your time this morning.
Thank you, Bob. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Wow, that was great information, great attitude, and that's the future, folks. Ebo in Sua joining us, talking about the future of Florida and electric cars on the Bob Rose Rewind. Thanks to all my guests, including Dr. John, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner. We appreciate them as guests, and we appreciate you tuning in to the Bob Rose Rewind. I hope you have a great Saturday. Stay dry, my friends, and make sure you tune in to the Bob Rose Show Monday morning along with Greg Cassidy starting at 6 a.m. on 97.3 The Sky.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.